Chapter 38. Little Willie. Iris's conversation, along with some of the cream used on the cow's udders, made Buck's marriage bed what it was supposed to be. To his surprise, once Eve got the hang of this sex thing, she enjoyed it a lot. She would call him into the house in the middle of the day on the pretense of needing something fixed. Once she had him inside, she attacked him and forced herself on him. Buck had to admit that he did not put up much of a fight. Whatever Iris had told Eve that morning sure changed Eve's opinion about sex. Eve never would tell Buck what the two women had talked about, only that it was female stuff and none of his concern. Not long after the wedding, Iris noticed that Buck was starting to lose weight. She asked if he needed her to give Eve tips about cooking. Buck hugged her and kissed her cheek. She assumed from this response that Eve's cooking needed a little work. If Iris's cooking talk went as well as her sex talk had, Buck would soon be one fat, happy farmer. Eve's cooking did improve, a little. Nevertheless, Buck still used any excuse to be around Iris's house near mealtime at least once a day. Then, just when Buck thought Eve had a pretty good handle on the cooking, she started getting sick every time she made him breakfast. At first he thought it was something she was eating. God knows some of her meals had affected him that way. When Buck asked Iris about Eve's problem with food in the mornings, Iris just smiled a knowing little smile, then said,
"Congratulations, Papa."
Buck ran back to his house and asked Eve if what Iris had just told him was true. Eve looked at the floor bashfully and then said,
"I didn't want to say anything until I was completely sure."
Then she looked at Buck with a broad grin and screamed,
"We're going to have a baby!"
All his hard work in the bedroom had finally paid off. He was going to be a daddy. Weeks turned into months. It amazed Buck how fast Eve's belly grew. That tiny waist that had first caught his eye soon disappeared, and her perky breasts grew to gigantic proportions. She transformed from girl to woman right before his eyes, and grew more beautiful with each passing day. She thought her big belly was ugly, and did not want him to see her undressed. Buck enjoyed everything about Eve's pregnancy except her morning sickness. This she was able to control until she started his breakfast. Eggs, floating sunny side up in a hot skillet of grease, always managed to turn her stomach. For a while, Buck went without a morning meal. He then had enough sense to start eating his breakfast at Luther's house. Eve understood his needing food and did not mind his morning trips to Luther's. This gave her the opportunity to sleep in. The big house took on a new look as well. Buck hired a crew to add a nursery just off the master bedroom. Eve filled it with all the baby furniture she could find. Buck was hoping for a son, and Eve was counting on a daughter. They had many heated debates as to names. Buck stood firm on William, if it turned out to be a boy, and she chose Grace for the girl name. He had even overheard Eve referring to the baby as Grace when she and Iris were talking and did not think he could hear. 9 months went by quickly. Eve was 2 weeks overdue when a bad storm rolled into the valley. The rain lasted for days. Doc Johnson had already been called to the house several times on false alarms, so Buck was not too excited when Eve woke him in the middle of the night, telling him it was time. Buck sleepily fumbled for his clothes and boots in the dark. Then Eve let out a high-pitched scream as she doubled over in pain. The speed that Buck became fully dressed was somewhat amazing. This time Eve was having very hard contractions, and they both realized that this was definitely no false alarm. Buck ran to the barn and saddled his horse. The rain was blowing sideways, with drops the size of grapes. It stung his face as he galloped down the muddy road toward town. Nearing the Willow Creek Bridge, Buck saw the water lapping over its deck. What had once been a small, gentle stream was now a raging flood, full of debris and downed trees. As Buck was about to cross the bridge, a massive oak smashed into it, sweeping away its center. Now a 20-foot-wide void made crossing impossible. He was barely able to pull his mount to a sudden stop right at the edge of what was left of his side of the bridge. Buck dismounted, tied his horse to a nearby tree, and then studied the situation carefully. The muddy water was obviously flowing too swiftly for him to swim across. Yet he was determined to make it to the other side some way. His family was counting on him, and he could not let them down. Losing his life trying to get help would be better than taking a chance on their life. He was becoming desperate and was tempted to try the swim. Then a lightning flash revealed a fence post on the opposite side of the creek near the end of the bridge. He removed the lariat from his saddle and walked out on what was left of the bridge. The wind howled. Rain fell even harder. It took Buck 3 throws, but he finally lassoed the post. He pulled on the rope hard. It felt solid. Climbing the tree nearest the creek bank, Buck tied the other end of the rope as high in its branches as he could reach. With the rope now secure on both ends, Buck wrapped his legs around it and slowly slid down to the other side, pulling himself along hand over hand. The rain fell so hard that he had to keep his eyes shut as he crossed. Twice his hold on the rope gave way and he hung over the raging torrent by only his knees. Each time it took nearly all Buck's strength to regain a grip on the wet rope. Inching forward blindly, his head finally bumped the post on the far side. Once safely on the other bank, Buck ran the rest of the way into town as fast as the mud would let him. When he neared Wilsonville, Buck had a flashback to his youth, when he had run this same route out of fear of the darkness. This time the fear was not for him, but for the safety and well-being of those he loved. When Buck got to town, he woke Doc Johnson, Mr. Anderson, and several of the men of the town. Buck told them Eve was in labor and that he needed their help to get Doc Johnson back across the creek. They hitched the team to Mr. Anderson's wagon, loaded some lumber, hammers, and nails, then all climbed aboard. At the bridge, the men worked feverishly. Building what resembled a narrow ladder about 22 feet long. They then slid it across to the other side of what was left of the bridge. Buck walked across first to test it. Although the temporary bridge creaked a bit, it held fine. Doc Johnson came across next on his hands and knees with his small black medical bag clenched in his teeth. In his haste to get the doctor across the river, Buck never thought once to secure him with a rope. All his thoughts were on Eve and her needs. When Doc Johnson got himself righted on Buck's side of the river, Buck told him to take his horse and go ahead. Eve needed a doctor now more than a husband. Buck ran as best he could in the slippery mud, but could not keep up. He had to stop several times to catch his breath. By the time he entered his house, he heard the first faint cries coming from the bedroom. Buck rushed in just as Iris and the doc had finished wiping off the baby and had begun to wrap it in a small blanket.
"Hold up,"
Buck said, still trying to catch his breath from his run. He left a trail of muddy boot prints on the carpet as he walked to Iris and pulled back the blanket just enough to reveal the baby's sex.
"It's a boy."
His yell startled the baby and it started to cry.
"Hold it down there, cowboy. You're not telling us something we haven't already figured out. Your yelling like a wild Indian is going to scare your son back where he came from.
Iris finished wrapping the baby and then placed him in Eve's arms. Buck leaned forward onto the bed, kissed both of them gently on the forehead, and repeated softly,
"It's a boy."
"Gloat all you want, mister. But if you don't give me a daughter by this time next year, his name gets changed to Great."
They all had a good laugh, but from the look in Eve's eyes, Buck was certain that she meant it. He'd better give her a daughter, or their son would have a tough time making it through school with the name Grace. Eve was out of bed in a few days, but Buck made her take it easy. He hired the widow Richards from town to help with the house. Eve was such a delicate little thing, and this birth had taken a toll on her. Many women died soon after childbirth because they had to start doing chores before their insides had a chance to heal properly. Buck was determined not to have this happen to his wife. Even though he offered to pay her for a time as well, Iris would not hear of it. In fact, she was insulted that he felt he had to even make the offer. She knew that Eve meant the world to Buck, and she was never going to let anything happen to her. Iris felt she and Richie owed Buck much more than they could ever repay. Without his generosity, they both would be nothing more than their dreadful cousin's servants. Since Buck's son entered this world, Iris had spent more time at the big house than she did her own. Between the two of them holding him constantly, Buck's time was limited to those rare occasions when Eve and Iris were busy trying to tell the widow how to cook. With the two mother hens distracted, Buck would slip into the nursery, pick William up gently, cradle him in his arms, and just stare at him. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to make one of these small creatures. His little hands and feet were so soft. He even made small sounds when Buck held him, as if he knew that Buck was his father. After a month, Eve regained her strength and felt no need for Mrs. Richards' assistance. The old woman hurriedly packed her bag and seemed glad to be getting away from the constant criticism of her cooking. Eve's cooking skills had improved somewhat, but Buck would dearly miss the older woman's fine meals. He could never tell Eve that, though. One afternoon, shortly after the widow had left the farm, Buck slipped silently into the nursery and wrapped William in a small warm blanket. Richie was in school, Iris had gone to town with Luther, and Eve was taking a nap. Buck eased out the back door and carried William up to the cemetery to introduce him to his grandparents. Buck knew this was risky, but he felt he owed it to his parents to share this amazing gift with them. His mother had always told him that people never die if their bloodline continued, and part of them would always live on in their children and grandchildren. Buck knelt at the foot of his parents' graves on one knee as he balanced William on the other, then said,
"Mom, Dad, I want to have you meet my son, William."
Buck knew his parents could not hear him, but somehow just saying the words aloud made him feel a little better. He then continued,
"Eve wants to call him Bill, but I'm going to call him Little Willie."
Just then, Buck heard a dried leaf crunch. He turned and saw Eve staring at him with a puzzled look on her face. He had no lie to explain why he was here with his newborn son, so Buck looked Eve straight in the eyes and said,
"Darling, there are things I need to tell you about my past.